So about 10 years ago, I was at a 12-step meeting that was like my meeting, you know, and I always say, you know, she always, you know, Sia talked about, you know, always have a home group, sobriety, a sponsor, but I always say you got to have a, you know, as far as your meeting schedule, you should always have a big book meeting, step study meeting as part of your repertoire. So this is my step study meeting, and I don't know, I guess maybe I've become the senior statesman or maybe the bleeding deacon, but Ralph shows up and all of a sudden, here's this guy with some time talking 12-step smack. I'm like, who is this guy? And over the years, we got to know each other, and man, it's been a really pleasure to get to know Ralph. And so here is Ralph M. from Walnut Creek. So, thanks.
Thank you. Gil.
All right. Hi, gang. My name's Ralph. I'm an alcoholic. Boy, I'll tell you, you folks here at Pismo Beach really know how to make a person feel welcome. I tell you, I got here about 4:30, went and jumped in the pool, did my laps, go to the quarter deck, get a nice, fresh sea bass, grilled just the way I like it, and now I'm ready to lay down and take a nap. But I'll say a few things before I start kind of falling asleep. Yeah, it was great. You know, Gil and I are old friends. We go back a long way and all about recovery, right? But first, I'm just going to check in before we, you know, because you're going to have to fasten your seatbelts. You know, this is one of those bumpy rides. And so what have I been doing on my summer vacation? So three of my sponsees have gotten married in the last 90 days. And one was in Beverly Shores, Indiana. Another was at the Bellagio in Vegas. And then another one was here at Pismo Beach. And I'd never been to Pismo Beach before, except at this country club that we went to, and it was lovely. And you know, all three of these guys, I was thinking about them, you know, they were pretty much ragamuffins when they came in, and they all said, "Hey, Ralphie, we sure cleaned up good, didn't we?" And I said, "Yeah, you did." I said, "Let's don't let this go to your head, though. You know, this is you're sober and you're doing really well today." And they all, you know, it was so joyful to see three sober guys. When my Sia talked about, you know, I'm grateful to have my teeth. One of them, you know, that's real for us, though. That's real for everybody here. But for the grace of God, there go I. And one of them did not have his teeth. He was a meth addict, came out of Salvation Army down in Harbor Lights there in San Francisco. I'm a San Francisco guy, Old St. Mary's, Pax West. That's my home group. And so he came in and was escorted in, sat in front of me. And I thought, you know, and he just kind of almost nodded off. He was all emaciated and just a wreck, you know. You know what meth does to you. And so, you know, he says, after the meeting, he says, "Well, what do I do?" And I said, you know, I didn't think he'd be alive in a week. So I just gave him the big book. And I said, "Well, here, read this." And he goes, "Okay." And he leaves. So I'm saying, "Oh, thank God. I hope I never see that guy again." And he's back the next day. He says, "I read it." And I said, "Yeah, right." And he says, "No, I did." He says, "What else do I do?" And I said, "Well, you need to get a sponsor and work the steps." He goes, "Okay, will you sponsor me?" I said, "Hell no." And I said, "Hey, what am I? A sponsee of one of my sponsees of one of my sponsees will sponsor you." And anyway, Tommy, you know, today, Gil knows who he is. Tommy today is on his way to, you know, partnership in one of the big four deals, has two children. He'll be at my home on Thanksgiving. There was only one summa cum laude graduate at USF 8 years ago, and that was Tommy, you know. And so we can never, ever give up on one another, you know. We don't know anything when somebody walks through those doors and, you know, wants help, you know. And when they ask for that, we got to put our hand out, you know, and be part of that. And, you know, make a little, we tell a good story and we joke about it, Tommy and I, but I'm so blessed to have a lot of men in my life, a lot of young men. My sponsor came up to me at about year 7, and he said, Ralph, he said, being popular in AA isn't working the program. And I'm like, man, geez, where's this guy coming from? Doesn't he know anything? And he says, the program is sitting in the back of the room after the meeting and getting a newcomer, sitting down, breaking out the big book, reading the doctor's opinion, and getting started, going through the steps, and get your 12 and 12 out too. I'm like, well, we got people for that, don't we? And he's like, oh, yeah, we do. You. And, and I say it in jest and everything because I love sobriety. I loved Pax West. I love the guy. I'm down the middle of the financial district, getting sober with all my buddies. And, these guys are all successful, big hitters. And I'm like, what's not to like about this, And so it was, I'll tell you a little funny story, too, later on when we're talking about step 5 and where I did step 5. Which was kind of a unique experience, but when I realized that I was the one that had to show up and sit down and start working with newcomers, that's when the program took off. That's when I learned who I was. That's when I learned in fact, this program's not about me. First year, old Cy would say three things. So Cy's long gone to the big meeting in the sky. But Cy would tell us that why is not a spiritual question. He said, 2, your ego is not your amigo. And and 3, Cy would always tell us that, unless you work the 4th and 5th step, you're probably not going to stick around too long. And, we'd like, that was pretty rugged stuff from our guy. He had a lot of tough love going on, but old timer. Anyway, we'll talk about Cy a little later. Pax West, this is a group that got started in 93, and there were 12 of us in a basement of the church. There's about 350 guys in it now today, and we've done a lot of service. We've had a lot of things going on, and maybe some of the men even here may have attended some of the dinners that we've had for all of the state of California, and we have 400 to 500 men come to it every April, the first Friday of April. And we have it's a 3-speaker format, and it's really very well attended. But I think it's so important that, for instance, the thing I'm looking forward to the most already is going to the Villages tomorrow at 7. I'm really looking forward to that. Gil's going to come pick me up. I get to see Terry. I think Terry's out there somewhere, maybe. And she's going to share, and it's going to be great. And I already feel part of the fellowship down here in the welcome that I've received from everybody. I mean, and you always know that when you've walked into an AA meeting or an AA family like you have down here, what a privilege that is, and how warm and different that is from the moment that Tommy, who was sitting there with no teeth and no hope, no nothing, and he comes into a meeting of AA and we sit there and we go, welcome, you're in the right place. Well, I didn't say that, but the other guys did. Yeah. And of course, today, back to sponsorship. You know, I've had the privilege of working with a lot of young men. And my sponsor before he passed in, he was my sponsor for 20 years. You know, he passed in 2010 from an inoperable brain tumor. And he told me, he said, your role is working with young men who walk in here and are bewildered and are looking for help. He says, that's what your role is. You're not going to be making coffee. You're not going to be sitting here, being popular with the guys or doing any of that hiya stuff. He said, you're going to be sitting down and working with those guys. And I sat there and I still didn't want to do it. When he received that terrible news, I took him to his last lunch when he was a fighter, you know, and he would have radiation on this side of his head. And it took all the hair and everything out. And he was a very conservative, well-dressed guy. And we'll come back to that in a second when we get to the start of things. But he gave me his little daytime, diary. And in it were 13 sponsees. And he said, there you go. He says, those are your guys. He says, you treat them right. These four are newcomers. These four have, 5 years. These four, these 10, they don't need that much, looking after. But he said, these are your guys now. So get started. And still, I was sitting there trying to make up excuses why I wasn't the guy to do that. Well, now, today, that's changed a lot because that from that moment on, there wasn't anyone there to pass the message to those guys. And it was the greatest privilege that I ever had. It was without a doubt, there's nothing, and Sia was saying it in her share, this is the best moment. This is the best possible day of our lives, and this moment is the best possible moment of our lives. There's, for recovering alcoholics, it's like that. I was watching this crazy TV series last night. It's called Fisk. I don't know if anybody has seen it. It is crazy. It's about an Australian barrister, and so they were trying to figure out the two parties were trying to figure out how much of the ashes they should get, and they came up with this very elaborate format where one party should get 95% of the ashes and the other party should get 5% of the ashes. Now, that's not the story that I wanted to say, but it was so humbling, I think, to sit there, and they had it on the ashes on the desk, and they had a spoon, and they just, were taking out the ashes and putting 5% over there, and the Aussies were sitting there going, I want one that's close to his heart, not, like close to his foot or something that might be smelly ashes. And so it was funny and things, but that's not my takeaway from it. I sat there and I said, one day, I'm going to be cremated, and I've already made the arrangements and all those things so my kids don't have to go through all that. I learned that from my father-in-law. He was an old bomber pilot in World War II. He had everything done. This guy, he says, Ralphie, he says, my family's crazy, and Irish Catholic. My wife, oh my God, am I glad she's not here? Because then she'd tell the truth. And he had everything done, bing, 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 everything paid for, and it was like, he says, here's the list, follow this list, and put me to rest. And I'm like, okay, and nobody paid 1 cent out of their pocket. So I did the same thing, and I've got that all lined up. And my takeaway from it was, well, here's what this is going to be like. There's the ashes, right? It's not very impressive or celebratory or anything of that nature. They're just ashes sitting there. But what am I going to do between now, sitting up here, sharing with you guys, and when I become ashes, And for me, I was chatting with the crew at dinner, and I said, we got a new employer, And we've all read that in the big book. And, you know, I know what my primary purpose is. I know, and doing this, there is no finer calling than to be called and to be sober, to have a spiritual awakening, to have a higher power in your life. There is no mental defense against the first drink. You know, that defense must come from a power greater than ourselves, right? I mean, there's going to be a day when the spiritual toolkit, you can't reach that sponsor, you can't reach that other person. You're going to be by yourself, right? We all been there. And then at that point, it's you and your HP, right? It's you and God. And he'll be there for us. He'll be there for every one of us. Every one of us. He'll be there for us. And he'll see us through. So we've got the three weddings. I went to Cancun for a vacation. And I went to this meeting every day while I was on vacation in the middle of Cancun. You know, my Spanish isn't too hot. But I'll tell you what, I knew exactly what they were talking about. I had the greatest vacation of all time. Greatest vacation of all time. I'm sitting here, made a lot of new friends, met a lot of new people in the fellowship, saw another way of how meetings can be done. What a fantastic experience that is, you know. And as a result, the entire vacation was just magnificent. So one of the things in one of the, a couple of other things that I wanted to just mention real quick was my son, Mike, who should have a seat right there. He doesn't yet, but we have one reserved for him there. He comes in the other day and goes, "Dad." I said, "Mike." He goes, "I've never noticed how you and Mom have never been happier in your lives." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, the only thing that's changed is that we pray in the morning now." Well, that took him back. He's like, "What?" I said, "You think about it." So that's what's changed with my wife and I. And we pray in the morning. And, you know, if there's one thing I always tell my sponsees, that this is something that you ought to try and do with your wife, even if she's not the praying type, just give it a try anyway. And say that, and blame it on your crazy sponsor. Says, "You know, honey, my sponsor says that we got to do this." Read the St. Francis prayer. St. Francis prayer is a pretty good one to start with. But maybe with that we'll get started here. So fasten your seatbelts now, because we got a little bit of time to rocket through this experience, strength, and hope that we'll share. So my last drunk. My wife was a flight attendant. We were going to go out on a beautiful San Francisco weekend. We had reservations at Chez Panisse, you know, Ellis Waters. We were going to be out on the bay sailing. We had everything that, and you know, I'm a practicing alcoholic. I'm like, shit, you know. Okay, whatever. My wife calls and says, it's Friday, and she says, "Honey, I'm sorry, I'm on reserve. And I got to do a turnaround to DC. I'm like, "Oh, that's too bad, baby." Like that. Pick up the phone, call the dealer. You know, the eagle has landed. Bam, of course, that was all of our password. But, you know, and I meet him. I'm not even thinking about my wife, who has to go to work. That's a hard deal, those turnarounds. And so I grab my FedEx package of cocaine. I get on BART, go right to the liquor store. "That, Ralphie, here you go." Boom. I got my quart of Jack Daniels. We have just bought a brand new home in Walnut Creek. And, you know, it's gorgeous. And we don't have any furniture yet. But so I'm not going to let that stop me. I get a nice big beach towel. Sit there and I run that out and I make sure that it's all nice on the corners and everything, you know. And then I lay out all the accoutrement, the quaaludes and the cocaine and And, you know, I have a Frank Sinatra signed tumbler for the Jack Daniels. So, you know, come on. I had it going on. And so I sat there, and then I went to the house, you know, the house had blinds. They just put in plume blinds, so I put on all the blinds. I'm so old, I had to take the phone off the hook. I put on ESPN, reruns, I sat down, and I was so happy that I was not going to go out with people that loved me and cared about me and going to Chez Panisse and sailing on the bay, but I was so happy that I was sitting there listening to the Doors, Riders in the Storm, right? I got good taste in music. And so I'm sitting there drinking and drugging because I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. And that's, I think I'm having an elegant, intelligent evening. And if any of you had told me that, you know, don't you think this is a little weird, Ralph, or something? I said, back up, you know, things are okay. I'm doing fine. And I don't know if that's so fine, Ralph. So about, that's Friday, around Saturday early evening, there's a knock at the door. Oh my God. So we just moved in here. And I opened the door and there's two policemen. And I said, geez, Mr. Morgan, you know, the lights have been going on and off and, you know, is everything okay in here? And, you know, we're in this little neighborhood I'm like, officer, everything is just spectacular. I can't even tell you how great things are in here. And they're like, you know, they're looking over my shoulder down there like, you know, there's no furniture or anything in the room. And I can't imagine what they saw. But anyway, they left. And I remember that. It was so weird. I was like, the police are even coming, even when, you know, I'm secluded in my castle here. And there should be a rule or something that that doesn't happen. Because I had plenty of run-ins with the police in my career, but never coming to the house on a house call. So anyway, I sit there and I said, well, I better go clean myself up. This house is so new, I've never even been to the bathroom downstairs yet. It's brand new. So I said, well, might as well go in there and christen that. And so in I go. It's a marble floor. I slip on the floor and go right through the plate glass a mirror and cut my head. And, you know, so I'm sitting there bleeding away and have, you know, appropriately christened the bathroom. And I'm like, so what lies am I going to have to fabricate to tell about that, right? Oh, this is really getting good. So I come out, and I wrap my head, I look like I'm in the Civil War or something, and then I said, well, you know, I better start trying to pull things together here because, you know, Missy is going to be coming home. And what a packet of lies this will be. And so I start taking the Quaaludes and, they're not really working the way they should, so I take some more, and I start feeling a little bit, and then I said, well, I clean myself up a little bit, and I take all the, because I'm, you know, pretty clever guy, I take the beach blanket and kind of wrap it up like that, and well, there's that, you know, clean that all up. Oh, my heavens. So I drive to SFO to pick up Kelly. And, you know, I look like I've just come out of World War III, you know, I'm sitting there in the employee's parking lot, and Kel comes out, and she's like, honey, and I'm like, yeah, how things, I said, nah, she goes, oh, you hit your head, huh? I said, yeah, she goes, look, I got the greatest thing. She goes, I was with the girls in our layover, and I'm sitting there, doing the bike, you know, and they're reading and watching TV, and I'm watching Oprah, and this gal comes on, her name's Brenda, and honey, she goes, I think you're an alcoholic. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And she goes, and the other thing is, I come from a family of alcoholics. She goes, I don't know if I'm one or not, but, you know, I think we got a problem. And I'm like, all right, have you lost your mind? I said, what, you know, slow down. And so Missy, who would have been here, and you'd have all liked her a lot more than me, but she is a realtor. She's selling a house tomorrow, so unfortunately you'll meet her because you haven't seen The Last of Us. Pismo Beach is too much fun here. So she says, they're running the credits. Kelly sees the phone number of Dr. Brenda Wade talking to Oprah and calls it. And Brenda Wade picks up the phone. Hello? She goes, hi. She goes, and Kelly just, you know, lays all this on her. She says, you get on that flight, you get back here, and you get that guy, and you get in my office right away. She goes, we got to take care of this. And because she's from an alcoholic family, all this kind of stuff, and abuse and alcoholism. And so I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. I said, you go and take notes and then come back and debrief me. yeah. So that didn't work. So we go, and I go to, and I'm really in a bad mood, and I'm very mean-spirited. I'm there to embarrass her and to be mean. And this tall, remarkably attractive black woman walks out, and she walks right up to me, and she's like, hello, Mr. Morgan. She goes, I hear you may have a drinking problem. She goes, we're going to do something about that. Thanks. Have a seat. And I'm like, holy, you know, don't ever say that to me, you know, a drinking problem. And so anyway, she listens for a little while, and she says, well, here we go. She goes, you have to go to 6AA meetings. You have to go to 6 Al-Anon meetings. She goes, unless you do that, we'll sit here and talk forever and get nowhere. She goes, you, my friend, have a problem, and you have no idea what you're dealing with. And so let's get with the program. And I'm like, oh my God, this has gotten too far away from me. And we sit there, and Brenda says, and I've got a funny feeling about you. She goes, you know, I've never done this in my professional career, but she says, I'll tell you what. She goes, if you do this, and you come back and work and do the work, she goes, and you don't see any results at the end of this time, she goes, I'll refund every dollar that you've paid me. I'm like, what? And she says, no, that's the deal. She goes, because I can just tell you're not going to do this. So anyway, we come back the next day. Kelly's on fire. She's gone to an Al-Anon meeting. She has a big book. She has a sponsor. She has the first step. She doesn't look at me. I'm like, wait, wait. And she's like, he's none of my business. And I'm like, no, I'm your business. I'm your business. You know, you have to go home, cook something, do something. You know, I'm your business. You're not my business. And oh man, she's going like that. And they go, okay, how'd you like your AA meeting, Ralph? And I'm like, lying, naturally. And I go, oh, it was great, you know, and everything there. I didn't go to any AA meeting. You don't know anything. And so I have to go to an AA meeting now because I backed myself into this. So I'm walking down California Street, Old St. Mary's there, and you know, I'm sure that if I just look in on you guys that that's all I need. I'll get it right away. And I can report back and get the check mark off, and we'll go back to, you know, chaos. And so I come out, and this very nicely dressed man comes out and says, hi there, how you doing? You look for a meeting? Come on in. And I'm like, no, God almighty. And I said, dude, I look like I was looking for a meeting. And I start walking down the hill, and he grabs my elbow. He says, wait. He says, calm down. He says, come on in here. It's okay. you can sit down, can't you? He says, you don't even have to do anything. I'm like, sit down, don't do anything. I'm like, well, he says, look, it's all right, you're going to be okay. And he sat me down. And, you know, I sat there and I looked across the room and I knew some of the people in the meeting. And two of them I was going to have a meeting with that afternoon, a business meeting. I'm like, and they go, hey, Ralph, how you doing? Nice to see you. And I'm like, oh, my God, my life's over. The city of San Francisco has discovered that I'm an AA. And so I'm done. And, you know, it was hilarious. I walked out of there. I'm never going back, ever. And so I'm going down California Street, you know, that it's on a pretty good ramp there. And all of a sudden, the guy, the greeter, goes, hey, Ralph. And, you know, there's people and everything walking by me in California Street. He says, I give you permission not to drink tonight. And I'm like, oh, God, help me. I said, yeah, thanks very much. You know, oh, my Lord. Now I'm really never going back. And those are the only words that stayed with me. And, you know, that night I didn't drink. And at noon the next day, my secretary came in and said, there's a gentleman downstairs waiting for you. And I said, what? Oh, shit, it's that guy. I went, oh, my God. And I come downstairs, and, you know, I thought I was a really, not a big shot, but I was a middle shot. And, you know, I'm walking downstairs, and I'm like, may I help you? And he goes, no. He goes, I can help you. He says, look, I don't think you're going to go to an AA meeting again. And he says, I just think you're worth it. I came here. You'll never see me again. If you'd like to go, I'm going to a meeting. I think you're worth it. Come with me. And that saved my life. The only reason I'm standing here right tonight, because of that gentleman right there doing that. So that's what we got to do. You know, we got to keep trying, keep going. And, you know, I it was so funny. We were walking up the hill and I'm like, you know, I only drink like maybe two or three at night now and then. And he's like, yeah, okay, fine. And so we get there and we sit down and he says, okay, I'm your sponsor. Here's the big book. We're going to read, the doctor's opinion right after the meeting. Here's step one. It's on page 30. Only place where they mention, the first step of recovery. And he said, we're doing this for 90 days and 90 meetings. And he goes, it's going to save your life. I'm like, well, that's a lot to take on board, you know, in a few minutes. And I'm like, you know, he says, that's it. We started and, you know, he saved my life. I did my fifth step. I have to just get this in here before my time's up here. So I did my fifth step. He gives me his business card, and I look at it, and I said, you know, that's the Transamerica Pyramid. And I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. I know where 222 Montgomery is. So I walk to the pyramid, and I go to security, and I go, you know this guy? He goes, so I go up to this level of elevators, then I go over to this level of elevators, then I go to this level of elevators, and then there's a security that take you up to the final elevators, and in the top office of the pyramid with the 365 view where they take the movies and all that kind of stuff, that's where my sponsor is hanging out. And he's all business. He's like, all right, you done the three columns? Did your part? My part? Fourth column? I said, yes. And I did seven items on my fourth step. I did five to tell him, and I kept two in abeyance, you know, because if things were going good, I'd throw them in, but if things weren't, those aren't going in. And, you know, so I sat there, and he never used humor. Never used humor. Very, very. Boom. I found out later, he was the number one salesman for Northwest Mutual Life in life insurance in the country. And so this guy was so rich, it was like, you know, he was a Commodore at the St. Francis Yacht Club. He had two places in Meadowood. He had a place up in Russian Hill. I mean, like, oh my God, this guy. So he gets up and he pulls out the chairs from his conference table and he says, and he gets down on his knees and he goes, come on, let's say third step prayer and let's get going. And I'm like, I'm standing there like this and I'm like, oh, I really don't get, he says, get down here. And it's, you know, I'm 39 years old. And I'm like, okay. And I just get down and I say my third step prayer. And then we, I do my five things and he's sitting there and he's like, that it? And I said, no, I said, I got a couple more here. So I throw those in. No. Now is that it? And I said, yeah. And he looks at me and he goes, geez, he says, you sure are a bad guy. And I was like, and we start laughing and I never stop. When I walked back to Bechtel that afternoon, I thought I had a shot. I thought I had a shot, you know. Alcoholics Anonymous had believed in me. Alcoholics Anonymous had given me a chance. The steps of sponsor had given me hope. And I was walking back to my office. My great-grandfather died of alcoholism. My grandfather died of alcoholism. My pop had died of alcoholism. Everybody in my family died of this disease. And you know, I really felt my heart of hearts, I wasn't gonna die of this thing. There was a chance that I would not die of the drink. And I was like, my feet did not touch the ground all the way there. And I was like, you know what, I'm in, I'm doing this. I'm gonna do this. You know, and so there's plenty more, but that'll be for another chapter and another day. But I did want to read one little thing that I'll end on with this. And this is in about step six. It's called The Outlook of Two AA Members. Don D went to an AA meeting one evening. He frowned when a member mispronounced a few words while reading how it works. He felt appalled when another member stood up and said he was an alcoholic and an addict. Another person talked way too long. As he slipped out the door immediately after the meeting, Don D. muttered, "That was terrible. I should have stayed home." Bob M. went to a meeting one evening. His head was bowed as he listened to the preamble and how it works. His eyes moistened as he listened intently to a member tell his story. He was grateful for being able to attend this meeting. After cleanup and a little socializing, he paused as he locked the meeting room door. His thoughts were, thank God for such a beautiful fellowship. Both AA members were at the same meeting. Each found what he was looking for. Thank you.
Give our main speaker another round of applause.